Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, Canada, Mexico, New Zealand, all across the world. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network at Tuesday through Friday. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and never miss an episode by subscribing to the show. Our show is on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Google Play Music app, or you can subscribe right here on Blog Talk Radio. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, authors who are doing amazing things in their life. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my friend Ed Squire. Ed, how you doing, man? Ed, you there?
Sean, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, can you hear me?
So, yeah, can you hear me? Ed, are you there?
Yeah, and I think it sounds good.
Oh, I got you. Okay. So, welcome to the show, man. This is going to be an amazing, amazing show. And
I'm going to try dialing in again, Sean. I think I'm having a problem here.
Okay. So, for everybody listening right now, I am so pumped to have my buddy Ed Squire on the show, and is absolutely doing amazing things in the world. And what I want you all to know is that he created a nonprofit called Me Too What Now. We've all heard of the Me Too movement. You know, it was a big thing last year and the year before. It's you know, real big in the media and everything else. And a lot of people talk about the hashtag, the Me Too, right? And so what he created was the Me Too What Now. And so we're going to learn a little bit more about Ed Squire. As a top-tier business consultant, Ed Squire was earning a six-figure income providing strategic business solutions for Fortune 500 and global companies in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. By the end of 2016, he was terminated and on disability with complex PTSD and depression. In 2015, he began speaking openly about the sexual abuse he suffered as a child and how it was affecting him as an adult, but he wasn't prepared for how that might impact his life. 1 year today, he started a nonprofit called Me Too What Now to raise awareness about the childhood sexual abuse and mental illness, but he wanted it to be different and somehow contemporary. He discovered a niche for creating videos that are capturing the attention of his target audience, other advocacy groups, filmmakers, and social media influencers. He's currently working on a mini documentary about the public lawsuit he filed against one of his abusers, who was his elementary school teacher and the school board that employed him. He plans to release it this fall or in early 2020. In the show notes, you have the website, MeToo, MeToo, WhatNow.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and check out the YouTube. Check out the YouTube channel where he creates all the videos, and you can see what he's up to. So with that, Ed, welcome to the show. And the first question I really want to ask you is this your why? Is this what you experienced as a child? Is this what drives you every single day?
Well, first of all, Sean, I hope you can hear me. And yes, this drives me every single day.
Perfect. Perfect. So talk more about that. Talk more about that. What made you start this 501c3? What made you start the Me Too What Now?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I think, Sean, I was like a lot of other people in, I was pursuing a career like everybody else does. And having been, sexually abused as a child, I did my best to ignore these things and just try to, hope that they didn't affect me and just try to forget about it. And just later on in life, as I got going in my career and things were wonderful, I was consulting around the world and working for these global companies and really enjoying my career as a consultant. Certain things began to happen that would trigger me, and I just slowly lost my ability to focus on my job, which was unexpected not only by myself but also by my colleagues and my boss. And what ended up happening was I had to take time off because I just thought I was having like a midlife crisis or something, I was stressed out. But I came to find out after some therapy and some work with my doctors that I was suffering from complex post-traumatic stress disorder, and that also comes with anxiety and depression, and there was no way I could go back to work. And so, being the businessman that I was frustrated because I wanted to understand what had happened to me and how can I overcome this? How can I get my life back? Because it just seemed to be unraveling. And, through research and therapy and just going through the process that you need to when you experience this, I got to the point where I thought, I want to do something to contribute to this issue in our culture today. And as I began to go through my recovery, I noticed that when I looked on the internet, like a lot of people do, because it's a very it's a shameful thing to deal with, and it's fearful, and so we look online for information and anything that can help us. And I came up with the idea for Me Too What Now because of the Me Too movement, which everybody pretty much recognizes what that is today. But in the last year or so, a lot of people have been wanting to move past the, Me Too, which is saying you're identifying that you've been sexually abused. And I know it started with women being abused in the workplace, but, I think it's more commonly accepted now that if you've been sexually abused, the phrase Me Too refers to anybody who has suffered through these traumas. And so, the culture was kind of wanting to move beyond, what do we do next? So that's where I came up with the name for Me Too What Now, is what happens now. But at the same time, I found that the content that was on the internet was, there's a lot of good information out there, but it really fell into two camps. And one was, you can read a lot of good information on other advocacy organizations and groups and nonprofits. And then there's video that is available, whether it's on these particular websites or on YouTube channels. But I found that the content was kind of the same all around. And for me, I was kind of getting bored of it. Not that it was bad information. It was very good.
Yeah.
But it's such a heavy topic. I just wanted to be enlightened, and I wanted to be inspired through this process of, you know, such darkness and difficulty. And I thought, you know what, I like to have a positive attitude even when, you know, things are bad. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to use my quirky personality and just begin to create a journey of my own on YouTube in my own style. And that was through vlogging. And, I create blooper reels of things that didn't work. And I just live my life very genuinely and authentically. But at the same time, you know, what the value for other people comes from not only living that way online, but also I interview other survivors and other professionals and nonprofit advocacy agencies. And so I'm developing a good, well-rounded channel that has content that I think is drawing people back to revisit it over and over again. And that's where I've gained the momentum for what I'm doing and seeing the value, not only survivors, but also other advocacy groups and organizations as well.
Amazing. And I thank you for sharing and being vulnerable. I know it's not easy, and it probably took a while, many years, to get to that moment where you can share. So would you say that this moment, either back then when you were abused as a child, or was it the moment in 2015 or 2016 where really PTSD, the complex PTSD and depression, everything started being center stage, if you will? Would you say that was the transformational moment, or what put you on the path to what you're doing right now?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and it's a kind of a weird question to answer, because if I look back before these things really hit the fan, and I mean, I really lost my marbles when this happened. This is back in 2015 when I say that I was unable to focus, not concentrate on my job. Lightly going over when it was happening, but what was really happening was I was having massive triggers and fits of anger, and they were taking place in public and around strangers, and it was really not a good scene. It was extremely shameful, very embarrassing, and I had no control over these outbursts. So that never happened before really 2000 Yeah, I guess it started happening in 2012, actually, but it came to a head in 2015. So there was a progression that was taking place. And I think, you know, what happened was, and it's, you know, the reason why I say it's different where you look at it, because before, I always thought I was okay. I always thought, well, you know, everybody gets angry once in a while. Well, everybody's depressed once in a while. Everybody goes through what I'm going through. But the reality was, what I was experiencing was not only detrimental and harmful to myself, but it was detrimental and harmful to my friends and my family and my colleagues. So when that's happening in your life, you know you have a problem. But it really came to a head as I began to question, you know, what is wrong with me? Why am I behaving this way? Why can't I keep it together? And I think that's a common experience that survivors go through later in life. And whether it's triggered by an event of some kind or whether it's triggered by just the stress that you may be living through, you get to this place where you have to ask why, and it becomes shameful, right? And I appreciate what you said, and thank you for your compliment about my ability to talk about it without shame. But I'm still working through it myself. It's still there, and but really, everything came to a head when I just was unable to control my life anymore.
Yeah, and like I said, that has to be tough. I know just in my early adulthood, things started coming up because I was physically abused, not sexually abused, but just physically abused and beaten as a child from a stepfather that I have. And I know it was tough when I would see other kids get smacked or, you know, my fear was that I would turn into that person if I had a child, you know, so in relationships, I would be really scared. You know, we get into a serious relationship. So my relationships weren't very long because it would start to get serious. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, am I going to turn into that person? Like I lived in fear a lot. And then, you know, I started numbing everything with alcohol and it just wasn't good. It took me, you know, a downward spiral, but you know, with help and therapy and everything else, you know, things start to get better, but it's always going to live with you. Those experiences and everything that happened, they're going to live with you. But I love that you've taken your experience and created something positive about it. I think that's absolutely incredible and amazing.
It's interesting because, you know, trauma, whether it's, you know, the physical abuse that you suffer, whether it's sexual abuse that I went through, or it could be even emotional abuse or psychological abuse, or it could even be like our servicemen and women experience in battle, right? The trauma, it has very similar characteristics, and the path to recovery really is very, very similar. I think the levels of shame and the things that we fear may be different. You know, you were fearful that you might become that way, and for me, I was just so self-loathing of myself because I just you know, your identity gets sucked out of your life when you're sexually abused. And for me, it's the reason why it's called complex PTSD. It's not necessarily related to sexual abuse because if you're a service member, you could also have it as well. But it's trauma that's sustained over a long period of time. And for myself, it was abuse from my grandfather starting at age 4, and then a next door neighbor, and then this teacher. And but you know, like you say, the fear and the shame is we all have to overcome. And I thought, you know, and this is pretty much 1 year since I started Me Too What Now. And, you know, I'll never forget the way I got started was a very good friend of mine said, hey, you know, you should video yourself and upload, you know, your recovery on YouTube. You know, I think people would find that very interesting. And I thought, you know, what are you talking about? I don't know how to video, but that was the least of my worries. But putting myself out there, like on YouTube and sharing this something I just never fathomed that I would ever do. But, you know, kind of going back to your first question, you know, is this my why? I thought really long and hard about this, and I thought, you know, I think everybody's life is, you know, we have a purpose. You know, and when you know, I was in the corporate grind for my entire life trying to, you know, be a success and earn that money and get that retirement savings put away and get that house and get the car and, you know, do the things that we are programmed to do in North America. And these are good things. But I know at the end of the day, you know, my colleagues and a lot of my friends, you get lost in that and there's no purpose for it. And so I decided, you know what? All the things that have happened in my life are not by accident. Everything happens for a reason. And I took my friend's advice. And I then began recording myself, and I looked at myself on video, and I thought, oh my gosh, you look very uncomfortable. There's no way I want to start uploading this and putting this on YouTube. But I found it a very healthy exercise, and I thought, well, who am I? Like, you know, when you start looking at yourself through the lens of a camera, and you see your uncomfortable and awkwardness, I question myself, who is Ed Squire? Where am I in this image? You know, and my nonprofit has a tagline called "Find Yourself, Live Yourself, Give Yourself," and those are the my terms I've come up with that define the process of recovery through trauma. And the first thing is discovering your identity. So find yourself, and so being on camera just kind of put me in that place. And I thought, I got comfortable with it. And I thought, maybe. This is helping me. Maybe it'll help other people. And it's okay to be awkward on camera, because if I'm just being myself, then it's just me and I'm going through a transformation. And I thought, there is nothing on the internet that I could find where somebody is really authentically, documenting their journey in an interesting way, not just, here's my story and things are horrible and I'm on the path to recovery. But, I just started vlogging, a couple of months ago, I dropped my iPhone over the fence at the light rail station, and I ended up having to call the police, and the police called the city of Denver, and the city of Denver shut down the light rail transit in both directions during rush hour because they had to,
oh my gosh,
the workers had to go to the tracks to get my phone. And I recorded the whole thing on video, and I made it into a vlog, and it was just part of my day. And I can use that to teach in workshops that I'm creating for this next fiscal year coming up, where I can use the content I'm creating to explain to other survivors in a workshop scenario or into other workers in this field. In the background, here's what I was experiencing. I was actually having a mental meltdown during this time, and I'm glad that I videoed myself, because I can use that to help other people walk through what I went through and what I experienced during that. And at the same time, it's entertaining, and it's really quite funny to watch. So I'm in that journey of finding myself and living myself and giving myself now through the nonprofit.
That's wow. And that's amazing that you are willing to be transparent and authentic about it and go out and help other people. I feel like, from what I've seen and different experiences I've had with somebody that's suffered a trauma, or they're not ready to be the advocate. They're not ready to be the person on the front line, out there telling their story. And, maybe not at first, but I love that you've decided that this is it. This is for you, and you've had to work past fear. I think it speaks to your resilience, and I think it speaks to your perseverance, that you're willing to go and do whatever it takes, even though you're uncomfortable, even though you started videoing and you're looking at yourself like, oh God, here we go. And it is uncomfortable. Even when I first started speaking, it was uncomfortable being up there because you're in front of everybody and, you're like, well, what if they don't like me? And then you start like judging yourself, right? You start judging yourself based on what you're creating isn't going to be received by the people that you're trying to target. And the worst thing that we can
do. And that's a really good point.
Or that can happen. Yeah. The worst thing that could happen, though, is you put something out there that is so heartfelt and it's just rejected. I know for me, that's something I had to work through a lot of.
Well, I can really relate to that. And, a couple of thoughts about that. First of all, is that, it's not necessary for everybody to go public with their story. And but I think what is necessary is at some point is to talk to someone, whether it's a close family member or a friend or even a stranger that you don't even know, but that you see, that you feel safe with. And privacy and dealing with the fear and shame of this issue is of utmost importance to the survivor. And I've been through I'm still in therapy, and I took 2 years of group therapy, and you know, I would have to say that the most powerful part of my transformation and overcoming this was being able to talk openly in a safe environment. And it certainly does not have to be YouTube. I wouldn't recommend that if you're just starting your journey. And you know, to your other point, you know, it's still fearful posting content, because I've come to realize that not everybody is going to like what you're doing. And you know, I was prepared for that. I'm aware of that, and it's going to happen at some time. And I'm sure you realize that as well. And it was only about a month or a month and a half ago, you know, I had people letting me know that they just very clearly let me know that they did not like what I was doing. And it was really a bullying situation, is what it turned out to be. And so that you know, really kind of put me back for a bit. And I was trying to figure out, okay, well, what, you know, how do I deal with this? Because that's a trigger for me. If somebody's pushing back and not liking me, because part of the dysfunction is wanting to be accepted and wanting to be liked by people. But the reality is, that's not going to happen. And so you know, I stepped back from that, and you know, I have a great support group and network of people that are supporting me. And so I decided, instead of lashing out, that I would advocate for anti-bullying as well, because that also affects people mentally, and it's contributing to suicide in adults as well. And so you know, I was able to turn that around and use that also for some more healing for myself, and overcome you know, the disapproval of people that don't like what I'm doing.
I feel like it's twofold. Like, I feel like there's some prevention that should happen. Some prevention that says, or some kind of a movement or whatever. Like, so we talk about the Me Too, like, okay, it's happened, and now what? Like, what's the after? So I feel like it's twofold. There should be some prevention involved, like educating, like, hey, adults can be bullied too, or hey, this thing can happen, you know, whatever. Like, and put the systems in place and programs that will help people overcome what they're dealing with. At the same time, having somebody there that has experienced it, or having somebody there to talk to after the abuse, right? So we're educated on, if this is happening, you know, here's what you can do, whatever, to stop it or to prevent it, or you know, whatever. And then there's a second part that says, if this has happened, here's what we can do as well. I feel like there has to be a prevention and then aftercare, because I only see really the advocates going out after something happens. We're not really talking about prevention. We're not really talking about how to be safe from those situations.
I like that, you know, and we hear a lot today, you know, the common phrase that we hear, not only for childhood sexual abuse, but mental health, is, you know, we need to talk more. We need to talk more. And I think that can fit into the prevention side of it, and also after the fact. But that's one of the things I'm really thankful for what's happening in my life right now, because, you know, I'm not out of the woods yet. I'm in the trenches, in recovery, still working through my issues, and for some reason, you know, I've been called to this. I believe that, so I'm able to speak into it, you know, still in my brokenness and in the issues that I'm dealing with, and you know, create that kind of content that deals with it in the moment. And because I'm not a certified or qualified or professional mental health care professional, I like that. But I'm a certified, qualified, and experienced survivor in recovery. And that, I think, carries a lot of weight when you're in that mode and you're able to deliver a message at the same time. And you know, that's really part of a big part of what I'm trying to do.
And I want to, again, thank you so much for being vulnerable and transparent. And, you know, I'm sure it can't be easy because you're in it right now. It's not that it's not that you're a success story. Like, and I always say this, you know, it's like, I'm not a success story. Like, I battle every day. I battle the negative thoughts. Everybody looks at me and they're like, man, you get so much done and you do this and you do this. But what they don't see is that internal struggle. I internally struggle just like everybody else. I internally struggle with, like, you know, especially with what I'm creating, you know, especially this month with the clothing line. It's like, man, what if somebody hates it? Like, what if, like, this is an epic fail? Like, and it's work. It's work to get past these negative thoughts and feelings and beliefs that we start to have about ourselves. And I just want to applaud you because you're doing something about it. You're seeing that this has happened and you're taking action, and most people don't.
Yeah, well, it's, I appreciate that again. I thank you. And it's, the funny thing is I'm really having a lot of fun doing it. And the last year I've kind of been, you know, making it up as I go. It's been a journey of discovery to find out, you know, what works and what doesn't work, because I want to provide value to survivors. And, you know, when I refuse to have a persona, so to speak, and just pretend that everything is always okay. I don't need to put everything out there that I'm going through. There's, you know, there's a balance in everything, but, you know, part of my diagnosis is also being bipolar. And when you are bipolar with complex PTSD, I mean, you can really go for some crazy mental rides. And, you know, if I don't post something for a few days or a week or so, then I have, you know, people in there following me, they reach out and they connect with me to ask if I'm okay. And, you know, if I'm not, you know, I talk with them offline, and there's community that's being created where I'm helping people for sure. But at the same time, they're helping me. And I love being just part of the community as opposed to being, hey, look at me. I've got this nonprofit. I've got the answers. Follow me. And I want to be a big social media influencer in this area. And that doesn't mean anything to me. All I care is am I having an impact on somebody's life that's positive? And am I staying authentic myself, even in the tough times? And I think, you know, if I was, yeah, it depends on what your role is, right? Like for you, you don't want to be posting a whole lot of information about, oh God, I think my clothing line is going to be a flop. You know, that's not appropriate.
Right.
But, you know, you still deal with that. You don't ignore it, but you deal with it offline, you know, with your wife and your colleagues and your support group. But with Me Too What Now, it's not going to help people if I hide the struggles I'm going through. And pretend that they're not happening. So I have to be careful and kind of balance to what degree of my struggles and challenges do I put out there, and what do I not? And I'm liking it because it's again, you know, my tagline is find yourself, live yourself, give yourself. So what we're talking about right now fits into the live yourself phase. Right, I have a good idea who I am now. Now I'm working on living that out in authentic, genuine, daily practices, and that's you know, part of the process of recovery. And then the give yourself piece. That's where, you know, that's what I'm doing, is I'm giving of my life. And you don't have to arrive before you start doing that. And really, all three of these phases, finding and living yourself and getting yourself, they all kind of overlap in the process of recovery. And that's really what's taking place. And that's what all survivors go through at some point, should they choose to step into their recovery. So, yeah, it's a very, I mean, I never thought in a million years that I would be doing this. And I'm really having a lot of fun, and I'm meeting so many incredible people. And I think the most satisfying thing is hearing from people that either have prevented themselves from committing suicide, or sometimes they reach out to me directly, and I have conversations with them, and people's lives are being changed. But I'm careful not to take too much credit, because I receive the same from my following as well, and so it's quite the interesting journey.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Definitely sounds like it. And as we move forward, what is next for you and the Me Too What Now movement? Where is 2019 taking you?
Well, man, I'm really, really excited about it, because I gave myself 1 year. Like, I started last year. I uploaded my first video on April 21st. And I thought, you know what? I want to give all of my experience in business and life to this, to see where it goes. And if something good happens, great. And if it doesn't, I don't have to do it. I can do something else. And just in the first year, I was really blessed to have doors open for me and meet some incredible people that have influence and connection. Like, for example, I went to an event last year. It was put on by the Criminal Justice Services Department in Virginia, and some of the largest nonprofits and advocacy organizations in the country were there. And I met a fellow who owns an organization called Big Voice Productions out of San Diego, and he's very interested in a documentary that I'm writing right now, where the idea is to travel across the country with my camera in my quirky kind of authentic way, and just kind of leave. And I'm going to visit with some of the top medical healthcare professionals and psychologists and advocacy groups in the country and survivors, and interview them and have a lot of man on the street conversations with people about this topic. And that was my idea for the documentary. And at the time I thought, that sounds kind of like a, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. I've never made a documentary, and it's just kind of a whimsical thing. Well, when I talked to this fellow, his name is Simon Weinberg, he said, that is a fantastic idea, especially if you're going to do it in the moment where you are in your recovery. And so he's very interested in helping me and backing me to put this documentary together. And another opportunity that came out of that event was, about a week later, I got home and I got an email from the Department of Defense, and they're in Virginia, and they're implementing a new mental health care health awareness program for their employees internally, and they're going to have a panel discussion with experts in the mental health care field in an event where they're going to be talking to the employees. And I was invited to come and speak and give Me Too What Now's perspective on what I think of what the program looks like, and if I were an employee, how would I respond to it? And they're looking for my opinion. So I was just really, really shocked by that. And I went to the event just really to see if what I was doing was going to be accepted. And it was kind of like a litmus test to see if people liked it. So those kinds of things happened a number of times over the course of the year. I won't go into everything. But in 2019 and 20, that's my fiscal year, I've been working on a documentary that is about my lawsuit that I filed against the school board in British Columbia through the Supreme Court. And I also sued a teacher as well, because there's no statute of limitations in that province. And so I filmed a lot of really great content, and I'm going to be putting that together, and the goal is to release it this fall or early next spring. And I'm also writing the script for the documentary to travel across the country and have these interviews. But at the same time, I'm also working on creating workshops and content that has some deeper value than probably the majority of my videos and content I've created this year have been. Like I said, it's been journey of exploration to find out what works, and also just to discover my own self and what I like. And so I want to work on creating more valuable content, you know, like in a series that's called the Find Yourself, Live Yourself, Give Yourself, where I'll do short, you know, 5 or maybe 8 minute videos that explain to my following and to my audience what my experience has been going through my process of recovery. And so it's going to be a very exciting year. And now I'm doing these podcasts, and I'm going to be co-hosting another podcast coming up just in a couple of weeks. So there's a lot of really exciting things, and it's beyond what I ever expected. So I'm really looking forward to it. And more than anything, I'm looking forward to seeing more people get connected and find value with what I'm doing.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So here's what I want to do. I want to do a shameless plug moment. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Shameless plug. I love it. I'm chuckling because the whole vision and mission for what I'm doing is to eliminate fear and shame. So, yeah, I love shameless plugs. Well, I mean, I would love for people to come and visit my website, and that's at www.metowhatnow.com. It's all one word, me too, what now. Matter of fact, you can just Google that, and you'll find my website and my YouTube channel and all my other platforms. So more than anything, that means the most important thing to me is exposure. And it's not for my popularity, but it's exposure so that I can reach people who are searching and looking for help. And there's literally millions of people in the country. They're estimating in the States that there's between 60 and 70 million people, men and women, who have been sexually abused. And you can't tell me that everybody's getting the help that they want or that they need, and they're searching. So by all means, please find my website, have a look at my videos, go to my YouTube channel and find anything that you find uplifting and encouraging. And, of course, subscribing and commenting is what I love you to do. But on top of that, what's really important is that if you have been sexually abused, or even if you just suffer from mental illness of some kind, I bring those two together because you can't have one without the other, for the most part. But it's really important to get help. And in Denver, I always like talking about the WINGS Foundation, and that's an organization here in Denver that's been around for 30 years, and they provide services to both men and women and the LGBTQ community as well. If they've been sexually abused, and that's where I got help, and I still do. And they're a fantastic organization, and that's WINGS, just like an angel's wings. You can Google that and find help if you're in Denver. But bigger than Denver, if you're looking for help, then I highly recommend that you find a local organization, or speak to your doctor, or begin to tell somebody, begin to speak about what has happened to you, and begin to get your life back, and I think as human beings, we've all been given the inherent right to happiness and peace and love in our lives, and I think that comes before money, job, and success, and that's what I would encourage everybody to do.
Awesome. I love it, man. I love it. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest on the show. You've given a lot of resources, and you shared your story, and we're super vulnerable. So I want to thank you. Thank you. The transformation that we go through is what really is the catalyst that puts us on the path to what we're doing. Without that transformational moment, we might have been a garbage man, or we might have been somebody else. But I want to thank you for being an amazing guest. And so with that, Ed, you're an amazing human being. Love what you're creating. And come back to Life Transformation Radio anytime.
Well, Sean, I want to thank you for having me on.
And with that, another episode of Life Transformation Radio. If anything resonated with you with our conversation, please reach out.
It's been a really great pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely, my friend, absolutely. Please reach out to Ed if anything has resonated with you. And all the show notes, in the show notes are the websites, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Everything is right there. Everything is right there. Connect with Ed. He's doing amazing, amazing, amazing things. And so with that, I end with live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.